from last week. There's a poem. You can be thankful that I do not think that I'm poetically inclined and rarely will share a poem with you. I not only shared one with you last week, I actually read it to you. I'm going to do it again this week. I won't be back for 2 weeks, so don't worry. But I appreciate the poem so much that I put it in the front of my old Bible. And, you know, there are times when we don't always have the same degree of enthusiasm when we get up in the morning to do the things that we know we ought to be disciplined to do. And from time to time, when you feel like it's easy to neglect the Word of God, abbreviate the time in the Word of God, I often will look at that poem and be reminded of what a treasure it is that we have. And it's more than a treasure. And since I'm talking rather personally here this morning, I happen to have a Bible that was given to me in 1972. And it was not new then. It was given to me by Mindy's grandmother, which I think, Gerda, you know. And I had not been saved terribly long. And I probably bored you with this story before, but that won't stop me from doing it again. And I had not been saved terribly long. And Mindy and I were heading to Florida to visit her grandfather and her grandmother. And I was going to buy a Scofield Bible. And at the time, the place where I could get the Scofield Bible happened to be over in Alton, Illinois. And this is going to sound like, what's the matter with you? But I said, honey, I said, before we go, I'm going to go get that Bible. The hardback Scofield Bible was $7.50. Okay, times have changed a little bit. $7.50. And Mindy said, to me, we're going to Florida. Why don't you wait till we get back? And the implication is, don't spend the money before we go. I know what you're thinking. You know, if you were running the budget that close, maybe you should have stayed home. Okay, we didn't stay home, and we went. We arrived at her grandmother's house, and she, as soon as we pulled up, she said, Before I forget, I want to give you this Bible, okay? And she ran in the house and got this Bible. And it happened to have a black cover on back then. And she said, I want to give you this Bible. Mindy did not know anything about this. And this was exactly the kind of Bible I was looking for, but a whole lot nicer. And she wrote some very encouraging things in it. So this is kind of a treasure to me. I wore the Bible off in short order, and I happened to be working somewhere where there was a leather business, and I went in. I said, can you put a leather cover on that Bible? And they did. What's as surprising as the $7.50 Scofield Bible is, when I went to pick up this Bible that has a beautiful leather cover on it, I said, what do I owe you? And he said, you know, I never made a cover for a Bible before. Is $5 okay? So, times have changed since 1971 and 72. But you know what? The Word of God hasn't.
That's right.
The Word of God has not. It's a treasure. No matter how old you are, the Word of God is established. How long? Forever in heaven. So to get us back on the same page together in our thinking this morning, on your insert, would you please follow along as I read? Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see. many tokens of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my day. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it today. As long as we're talking about old Bibles, I want to tell you that it's been my privilege over the years that from time to time, someone dies in the church and I'm asked to do the funeral. And if I know the person well and know their love for the Word of God and their diligence in it, I will often say, could I borrow the Bible between now and the funeral? I'll give it back. And I will go through their Bible and sometimes find something that represents to the people at that funeral far more than anything that I could have ever thought of in just conversation with them. It kind of reminds me when I was leaving the house this morning, Mindy said, why are you taking that Bible? And I said, well, I've got a little story I want to tell the folks. And she, the reason I don't normally bring it is I'm old. And the print shrank over the years. You know how that does that? And it's more difficult for me. But I was kind of paging through this, and I came to Proverbs 31, and I had a little heart drawn in the margin with Mindy's name in it. And I pointed, she was duly impressed. And she looked at that and was kind of appreciative of that. I said, honey, I wrote that 50 years ago. I said, I've changed my mind. I said, well, I wrote that 50 years ago. And my grandson was over one time, and he was looking at my Bible, and he says, Papa, what's this? Anybody recognize what that is from there?
It's an ultrasound.
Yeah, that's right. And before he was born, I was praying for him, and I put that in the Bible. He was duly impressed. It's not about impressing people. It's about the Word of God. It's such an integral part of your life that everything, this precious old book, governs everything that you do and your relationships with other people as well. It is the book that will not only transform your life, it will guarantee your eternal destination into heaven. So it is the most precious thing that you can possibly possess. Well, we were talking about Revelation chapter 3, and if you're there, wait for me, and I will soon be there. Revelation chapter 1, and I read from verse 1 through verse 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of those things that he saw. Now here's our text last week in this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Our very simple threefold outline for this mini-series, if you will. Blessed are those that read the book, hear the words, and keep those things written therein. We gave a lot of attention last week to the reading of the Word of God and how important it is that we have the opportunity to read the Word of God privately and personally. After I went home and was driving and was thinking about our time together, I thought that possibly, I may have given the erroneous impression when I was talking about the Gutenberg Bible. Does anybody remember me talking about the Gutenberg Bible? And the fact of the matter is, the Gutenberg Bible in printed about 1440 to 1455, somewhere therein, it was printed. And I think I might have given you the erroneous impression that that was an English Bible. It was not. I am so happy. I'm so happy that I could clear this up. So I did give that impression. So it was wrong, folks. And I thought, wait a minute, I hope I didn't give them the impression that that was the English Bible, or worse, nothing wrong with the King James Bible, that it was the King James Bible. It was not. The Gutenberg, the first complete book printed on the Gutenberg press, was a Bible. It was not the King James Bible. Do the math. In 1440, the King James Bible didn't come till 1611. Okay? But what I want to clarify is that the Gutenberg Bible that was probably printed closer to 1450, if not 1455, was the first complete book on the Gutenberg press, and it was in Latin text. It was in the Latin text. So in my enthusiasm, I gave you false information, and I want to clarify it. And I'm thankful that somebody was paying enough attention and I'm not glad I made a mistake, but I'm glad somebody at least caught it. To that end, I thought I would be a little more precise, that in 1440, Gutenberg did come out with the movable type press. There were printing presses before that, but it was a long and laborious process. In fact, I went and found out for you that prior to 1440, that the printing press that were in vogue and were available were able to print 40 pages a day. Now, that's not too bad, 40 pages a day. But with the Gutenberg press, they were able to crank out, how many you think they were able to crank out with a new state-of-the-art movable type printing press, if a good day was 40 on the old kind? Just take a guess. 120. Good guess. Good guess. Far off the mark. So anybody else want to venture a guess? Sold. No. Actually, it was 3,600 pages a day. Everything going right. So you can see why the Gutenberg press revolutionized the printing industry. But even now, by the way, not only was the Bible the first complete book printed on the Gutenberg press, it was in three volumes. And it was called the 42-line Bible. Why do you think that is? 42-line Bible, because it had 42 lines on the page. But it was in parallel, and it had 42 lines in parallel. Do you know why they print Bibles parallel and not full page?
No.
Anybody? Say it again.
So you can make notes in the margin.
Absolutely. No, that's not it. But believe it or not, you can get more print per page in columns than you can in a full-page print. That's why they print Bibles in columns, because you can get more words. You say, how can that be when you're adding another margin down the middle? It can be, and it is. And that's why they print Bibles in columns, because and the Gutenberg press, 42 line in columns, three volume, was the first complete book printed on the Bible. So they were able to now crank out 3,600 pages a day, and it is sometimes referred to as the Mazarin Bible, because it was kept in the library of a cardinal in Paris, in his library, and his name was Mazarin. English Bibles, since I gave you the erroneous impression that it was one of the the earlier printed. I'm going to give you a very brief timeline of English Bible so that we can have kind of the context of how the Bible's unfolded in the English language. In 1382, long before the printing press, 1382, John Wycliffe completes the first English translation of the entire Bible. In 1382, long before the Gutenberg press, but that was the first English full translation of the Bible. In 1525, William Tyndale publishes the first printed English Bible. William Tyndale puts out the first printed English Bible. In 1535, the Coverdale Bible was the first, Tyndale, put out the first printed New Testament. First printed New Testament in 1535, 10 years later. The Coverdale Bible was the first complete printed English Bible. And then in 1560, this will be familiar to most, the Geneva Bible was published, and it was very popular among the English Puritans, and it was the Bible that was on the Mayflower. And then, of course, we almost all know in 1611, we have the now very famous, influential King James Version of the Bible. And I saw one in our rare book room in the library of the St. Louis Library. And I happened to know that one of the guys in the church would appreciate that I had the opportunity to see it. I took a picture. He was working at Boeing. I sent it to him and I said, I thought you would appreciate this. And he said, that's the book that changed the English-speaking world. He was right. He was right. And it actually changed not only the English-speaking world, but it's had a great influence. So the Word of God has been an integral part of the unfolding of history throughout many, many decades and generations. So we talk about the reading of the Word of God. Now we come to hear the second idea, to hear the Word of God. To hear the Word of God. The whole point of boring you with all the statistics of the Gutenberg Press was to make you understand that prior to that time, most people availed themselves of the knowledge of the Word of God by hearing it. Even after they were printed, Bibles were so expensive that the average person could not afford to own one. But the Lord Jesus Christ in the Revelation, John writes in Revelation chapter 1, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, said, blessed is he who reads and he who hears. Now more people have been exposed to the Word of God prior to our generation by hearing it than reading it. I want to give you a little bit of an idea in the New Testament at how the Word of God spread. It wasn't by circulating Gideon Bibles. It was by listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Make note of these references. You won't have time to turn to all of them. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, I have actually done a series on this whole idea that was entitled, They Came Preaching. Now, I make a point that the church is founded on, established on, grows on, and is spread on the preaching of the Word of God. Follow me, you will see what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I'm going to go through several passages of scripture. I'm going to read them. I'm going to ask you for the theme of this, of the preaching. Listen to the question. I'm going to ask you for the theme of the preaching when I'm done with the passage. I want to see if you recognize what the theme of the preaching is. There's two points we're making here. First point is the early church was established because of the preaching of the Word of God. Secondly, every one of the preachers were preaching the same theme. I'm going to read the passage again. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist came preaching. The forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching. Second, the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and in verse 38. In Acts chapter 2, 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. He's going to preach. This is the first sermon of the church. Raised his voice and said, men of Judea and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And then he goes on with the first sermon of the church. And he comes to the conclusion in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So John came preaching. Peter came preaching. The Apostle Paul came preaching in John 17, in Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 22, the Apostle Paul. Then the Apostle Paul stood up in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I'm passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I have even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim unto you. The preaching of the Word of God. John the Baptist, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ came preaching. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent out his first messenger preaching the word of God. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It said, then he called 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the word of God. Paul's instruction and charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to what? Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Preaching has been the integral part in the establishment, the foundation, the establishment, the growth, and the spread of the church. They came preaching. What was the theme of their preaching? What were they preaching about? What was John the Baptist asking them to do? What was Peter asking them to do? Repent. I'm so thankful you got that. You see, we're not typically good listeners because we're so accustomed to be able to see and comprehend. The early church did not have that advantage. They learned what they needed to know, what God wanted to communicate it, by hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. And we find it very difficult to be a patient and discerning listener today. And we find that today we often miss so much of what is available to us because we are not careful how we hear the Word of God. Lord Jesus Christ says, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear, because we're going to give an account for what we hear. What I'm trying to say here is that Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 is talking about blessed is he that reads the Word of God, but blessed is he that hears the Word of God. And we hear the Word of God by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God in the regular gathering of the congregation of God's people. Do you know that most people's spiritual lives make major changes in the congregation of God's people? I remember I was saved because I went to church. I was saved because I heard the Word of God. I wasn't saved immediately. It was a couple of years as I heard the Word of God, But what if I didn't hear it? What if I ignored it? What if I neglected it? And that's what we need to see. There is blessing in reading your Bible, and there is blessing in congregating with God's people and hearing the Word of God explained. In Nehemiah chapter 8, is talking about where Ezra got up and read the book before the water gate in the congregation of all the people from early in the morning till noonday, long reading of the Word of God. And then they gave the sense of it. That's talking about the exposition of the Word of God. You read the Word of God, and then someone gives the sense of it, or the explanation of it, and how the application of it ought to apply to you. There is blessing in that. Blessed is the one that reads the Word, and blessed is the one that hears the Word. Very quickly, because our clock moves on, if you will notice, finally it says, blessed are they who keep the Word of God in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. You can hear, you can read, you can hear, but the blessing does not really become personal and real until you obey what the Word of God has to say. You, like I, know many people that read the Word of God. You might know people that hear the Word of God, but there would be no clue in their life that that was true. I was amused. I was listening to a commentator on the radio, and happened to be a Jewish gentleman, and he was talking about how he revered the Word of God and how he found it important to read it and study it. And when he got done with his little spiritual commentary, I was impressed, frankly, a little spiritual commentary. Then he went off on a political rant using all kinds of language that I kind of thought, yeah, you might read and you might hear, but you are not obeying the Word of God. We need to understand that the value only comes when we read, when we hear, and finally when we obey the Word of God. Listen, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed is he that reads, that hears, and obeys the word of God. Your old Bible is the most precious thing you have. Avail yourself of it to the end that you might know the subject of that book, the Lord Jesus Christ, and why he came to die for our sin in our place. If you will stand, I will pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege to own a Bible. We are thankful for the education that enables us to read the Bible. I pray that as we hear it, we will heed it in the way that glorifies you most. In Jesus' name, amen.